Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Young Riders Gap, brought to you by Ride On, where we interview young New Zealand riders to discuss their work, process and inspirations. Get ready to be entertained, surprised and hopefully a little bit inspired.
Hello everyone and welcome to Young Writers Yap, broadcasting across Canterbury on 96.9 FM, live streaming and available as a podcast on plains.org.nz. I'm your host Lily and today with me I have Munashe.
Hi everyone.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Munashe. I went to school with Lily, which is I think the only reason why I'm here.
You're cool.
And I write poetry sometimes.
What kind of poetry do you write?
My poetry is mostly written to be spoken, so I do spoken word is my main form of poetry, and then I can do some written poetry, but the main way to read my poems in an effective manner is to read them out loud.
That's really cool because a lot of the poetry I read is on paper, so it's always interesting in a medium such as this where we're reading things out loud how people will perform theirs differently. Yeah. So I'm very excited. How did you get into poetry?
My school counselor recommended it, actually. So I had this like experience that I had a lot of emotions about and I wouldn't talk about it. So she was like, how about you write it down? I was like, no. And she was like, have you ever heard of poetry? So I started writing poems that way. My English teacher found out and voluntold me into this school's poetry team for spoken word. And I've been writing poetry ever since, and I've kind of fallen in love with it, but it was never really by choice.
Never what you expected to come out of it?
No, no.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
Have you thanked your counsellor?
No, I don't want to. If you listen to this though, Amy, thank you. Some good stuff has come out of it.
What's your process of writing poetry?
I think my process is a bit funky. I don't write a lot of poems in a year. I write poems about like the major emotions that I'm feeling in that few months. So every few months I like whip out a good poem. Usually I get an idea and then I just sit on it and I let it develop in my brain and I let myself develop an image. So every poem that I write comes from this picture that I have in my mind and I let this image just become more and more descriptive. And then after this image has kind of developed into something that I can understand fully, that's when I like pull it apart and turn it into a poem. But I can never just write down an idea that like pops into my head because then I just immediately lose it. So I just kind of sit on an idea for a couple months and if it's still there, it turns into a poem.
You kind of let it stagnate and see what else your mind can come up with before you write it down.
Yeah, but also doing it that way, like all my different experiences in that moment. Like if I'm writing a poem about how stressed I am, for example, if I just sit on it for 2 months, the different stressed things that happened in those 2 months kind of accumulate into this one poem. Instead of just talking about this one event, it's talking about my feelings about this like great deal of things. So it kind of just helps process a lot more at once, I suppose. It's efficient.
Efficient poetry therapy writing.
Exactly.
That actually makes a lot of sense because if you're writing about a specific emotional theme, you wait for other events that are similar to happen so that you have more examples. I never thought about it that way. I usually write about an event in particular instead of multiple things.
Yeah, because I think I started writing from writing about my emotions. That's the only form of poetry that I can like do well.
Yeah.
Like my other poems are fine if I'm talking about an event, but like I think the emotion and just like looking at how the emotion plays out in different circumstances, that's where like I sit and that's what I like doing.
It's like same emotion, different examples instead of one example, different emotions.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your favourite part of your writing process?
How chaotic it is. So I can't write a poem without other people's input. Just, it's a personal thing. I like hearing what other people have to say about what I've written to see how it's come across because I've got such a descriptive image in my brain. Sometimes I see the piece of paper and all I see is the image just simply because that's what I want to see. So I always like to show people in my first few drafts and be like, what do you see when you read this? And then get them to tell me And if it matches my image, I know that what I'm trying to convey is like coming across properly. So I would say that's my favorite part of the writing process. But it does get annoying when people don't pick up the phone.
I love that it's a collaborative process right off the bat. It's not that you give people finished products to look at. It's like from the first or second draft, you're like, what do you see? And then change it from there.
Yeah, well, I think how everyone interprets my poem is as important to the poem as to what I'm actually writing. My poem's words mean nothing if what I'm trying to say doesn't land, you know.
Do you have a least favorite part of the writing process?
How long it takes me, genuinely. I think writing one poem, so it starts with an image in my head, which can take anything from a day to 2 months to like develop this image. And then after this image, it goes on my phone as like a few stanzas. And then it'll get forgotten about for a couple weeks. And then I will come back to my phone looking for a poem to write. And then I'll find it. And then the image in my head would either have developed further since that point, or I would have forgotten about it and have to refresh myself. And then I'd turn that into a first proper draft, and then a second draft, and the third draft, and throughout all of that, you know, showing people. And then reading it out loud to myself over and over and over again, reading it out loud to other people, having other people read it to me. Like, it's very collaborative, but it also just takes forever to get one poem down.
It's really interesting because I always try to write it down as soon as possible so I don't lose it.
I don't lose it, though.
I do.
I find that whatever I lose, it was bad in the first place.
True.
And then whatever stays, it stayed because my brain has like picked up that it's something that wants to develop on. And I think it's because I process my emotions through poetry. If it's an emotion that I don't need processing or an emotion I don't want to process, I just forget about it. But if it's an emotion that I do want to process or an emotion that my brain recognizes that this is something important, this is something I want to like think about, this is something I want to do, then it stays and then it turns into a poem.
Would you like to read us one of your poems?
Sure. I'll start off with a happier one, actually. I've got a poem called A Love Letter to My Friends, which is a poem that was written about how everything in life is connected to everyone and how important it is to me, how much everyone's important to me, I suppose. Okay, let's do this. I drove down Heaton Street the other day. I remember you went to Heaton Intermediate, and I feel my heart warm. I miss you. I write a poem, a melancholy one, always melancholy, and I remember how much fun we have dissecting the intimacy of life, as if logically planning each step would help us control the uncontrollable. I miss you. I went for a coffee at Gigi's, and I almost ordered yours out of habit. How long has it been since we've been at Gigi's? I secretly plan for our next trip, even if it's only possible, then we aren't a whole island away from each other. I miss you. I went to a doctor's office, forked over my entire fortune for 10 minutes of her time, but I wasn't pissed off. I was too happy, remembering that when I told you about this appointment, you promised if I waited 10 years, you'd fix me up for free. I miss you. I bought a vest at that op shop out in Ferrymead. Remember the one? He told me I looked like a serious runner in it. You meant it as an insult, and I took it as one too. Since then, every vest I see, I tell you I like. The horror on your face for the second you think I'm serious brings me way too much joy. I miss you. I worked a bad shift at work. My first instinct was to go to Macca's, as if you've been waiting for me there with an Oreo McFlurry in hand, ready to gossip and tell all the tales we knew we weren't supposed to repeat. Same workplace meant we've got to keep each other informed, right? I miss you. I cannot remember when my life became so intertwined with the love I carry for others, when everything became a vessel to carry every memory and every bond. I am built on memories and the lives others have trusted me to brighten. Without you, my life would be dull. And without you, who would I be? Just a girl, where objects in the world are just objects, and people in the world are just people.
That was really good.
Thank you, thank you. I'm just a girl.
You're just a girl.
I'm just a girl.
My favourite line. I really liked the emotion you brought to that reading, and you were acting it as well with your face. It was really nice.
Thank you, thank you.
Have your friends read it? You said it was a collaborative process.
Well, this one was very hard to collaborate. So I rang my friend Kate, who's the one the vest is about. Yeah, shout out to Kate. She hates my vests. But she didn't pick up. Texted her. She didn't pick up. So then I go and I call Lily.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't pick up. And then I text Lily. I see she's active on Snapchat and she doesn't respond. So I'm like, okay, I'm offended by this point. I go and I talk to my friend Amani, who is in hall with me. Shout out to Amani. And she does answer the phone. And she comes over to my room and she does read it. And she does get involved. And that's my first collaborative process. With her there, I edit it and I work on it. And then later on, I talk to my friend Millie, who is the doctor friend. She's currently visiting back home from Otago studying medicine. So shout out to Millie. But yeah, so she also responded to her texts and phone calls. And she also was involved in the collaborative process.
It sounds like you have a real community around you.
Yeah, I like it. It feels really like I don't remember having this many people. And I don't know when I got this many people. But it's genuinely become a point in my life where I can just call anyone. And I can always trust that one person will pick up, which is really lovely.
That's really amazing.
Thanks.
I'll pick up next time. I swear.
Don't believe you, but all right.
Do you have another poem you want to read?
Sure, I have another poem. This is a slightly more depressing one. So this is the one more processing like my grief and how I feel about grief. Called Funny Friend. Grief is a funny friend, if I can even call her that. Popping in for a coffee every now and then, but never truly leaving. There's always traces of her, in the perfume of others, the words of my mind. Grief is a friend made of your memories. Without grief, I would no longer be I, and you no longer you. Grief always forgets something, and the happy memories turn sour from anguish, the loneliness of your confidant gone cold. Grief, she always forgets to take everything with her, leaving reminders throughout your day until her next visit. She may call. Oh, I'll grab them next time. You'll be all good. And next time, she'll visit for a coffee and cake. She'll pack up her things and forget to take everything with her. Again.
I really liked the use of pronouns in that one with making grief a she or a person. It makes it more like it's physical and in the room.
Well, yeah, I feel like it always is. Like in the room, it's how I interpret grief, at least. Like some people interpret it as this, like, in some poems, as in like a hole in the heart. Like there's a gap in their life. But I kind of always interpret it as like there's just this very, 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 very small elephant in the room that only I can notice. But it's still an elephant in the room. So I can't not notice it. And I can ignore it, but it will forever be there. And I feel like that's... grief has always been a physical aspect of life to me.
Do you find you write, well, we kind of know the answer. Do you write more positive or negative poems?
Negative poems, I have to say. I did tell Lily yesterday because Lily read all my poems before this. And I was like, I think A Love Letter to Friends is my first happy poem I've ever written.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It is such an exciting time in my life writing happy poems. I might not be able to replicate it, but I will give it a go.
I find that a lot of young people write a lot of negative, not even just poetry, but reading other young people's prose. I ran a writing club and I found that a lot of people go through a death and murder phase.
Yeah.
And it's always funny watching them where it's like really serious and I'm like, it's okay. You'll come out the other side.
You'll write something happy one day.
I've written happy things.
Sure. No. Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Excuse you.
But did junior you write happy stuff?
No. I went through it early, though. And intermediate was my death and murder phase.
I don't think I had a death and murder phase.
You had a grief phase.
Well, the grief phase has lasted like 5 years. I'm not entirely sure it's going to be a phase, but you know.
It's a reoccurring theme throughout your work.
Exactly, exactly.
Your poetry collection named Grief by Munashe.
Well, I do actually have an idea for a poetry collection. Thanks for that. But
you're welcome.
It's called The Ramblings of a Teenage Girl.
Nice.
And it's supposed to be like this entire book about like how depressing it is to be a teenager. And it was supposed to be like, so like I was going to like market it to parents being like, do you ever want to know what children are thinking about?
Hey.
Read this poetry book. And then they open it and it's like, grief. Next page, all my friends hate me. Next page, I will never succeed in life. Like,
I'd buy it.
Yeah, I think everyone should.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I should make it. And then like it should be required that every parent and every child in the entire world buys this book. And
the whole world.
The whole world. And I can make a lot of money and then I can just like retire and just fund the arts and then just be like, I don't know, writing poetry.
Dream big. Mm. I support you.
Thank you. Thank you.
On that note, do you share your writing? And if so, where?
I used to. But at the moment, the answer is currently, unless you're my friend, no. I was part of the Girls High Poetry spoken word team. Shout out Girls High. Hopefully we'll win this year if we even have a team. I've not been paying attention. And I was shared my poems through that route quite a lot. I would like to keep on sharing my poetry. And then my goal in life is to one day write a poetry book. But I am doing engineering.
Mm.
So
busy.
This brain don't got time to be thinking about anything other than physics, maths, and Python. So, you know, we'll see where I go.
That's fair. Aside from your friends, do you have any bigger writing communities you're a part of or would recommend to other writers?
Well, my friends are my writing community just because I'm friends with a lot of people who write. Speaking of Lily and Kate and, you know, all the people from school that I did poetry with, we all wrote together and it was all a collaborative experience. And then the Spoken Word Collective, which is the like high school grand slams that the schools run. If you are interested in poetry, I definitely recommend doing that. Even if you're not interested in poetry and you just want to like join a community where everyone respects each other and everyone likes each other and you will forever know each other in a way that, like, you can't know anybody else because you're sharing something vulnerable in your poems. And it's so much fun. And it, like, all of the public speaking brings you so much confidence, brings you so much skill. And who knows, maybe you can change that into doing something really artistic and creative for later on in your life. Like, that might bring you down a different path. I know a few girls through poetry and through the Grand Slams have. I've not, but, you know, I've heard of people, so I do recommend it. And then outside of high school, I've not joined anything, so get back to me on that one in a couple of years.
Yeah. It's definitely a way to increase confidence, either the performing, speaking out loud, even if we all hate school speeches, or just the act of, like you said earlier, writing down how you're feeling, however it takes place, or trying something new is always helpful for personal growth and exploration.
Yeah. And I found that poetry was my key way of doing it because I couldn't do journaling for my life. I can still not do journaling for
Neither.
My life. I can't sit down at the end of the day and be like, how did I feel today? Nope. I didn't feel anything today. I refuse. So like the poetry has been the way to like process everything. So if you are also a person who refuses to feel emotions and therefore can't write it down, like you can write about your emotions because they're in there somewhere and you just got to, poetry is the way to tap it.
It's a way, because if you don't want to like, they're hidden behind a screen when it's poetry because you're talking about them, but you're not really, so you can pretend that you're not writing about them at all.
Yeah. And then when you're writing about them, like you are actually like physically like letting go of them because in the process of writing it, especially by hand, you know, it's gone. It's over there. It's not in me anymore.
Yeah.
I do recommend.
And then it's also good to look back on later where I forget how I was feeling at a point and then I go back and read and go, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I definitely see that with my like my process of writing about grief because I've been writing about grief since day one, but I've definitely reading my work. You can see the 5 steps of grief I go through in the past 3.5 years, almost 4 years now. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. I look back and I'm like, ooh, she traumatized.
We laugh so we don't cry.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for either people who are young writers right now or are looking to do it?
Just give it a go. I mean, my poems have not all been great, and they don't have to be great. I'm of a personal belief that you can write anything, and you can write like horrible writing. Grammar sucks. Language features, what is that? You can't spell, whatever, but especially if you're doing spoken word. If you are saying it poetically enough, if you're taking enough pauses and like pretending like that's the important part, it sounds good. So then like do that first and then work on your poetry writing. But like it doesn't have to be good from the start. Just fake it till you make it. Pretend to be good and speak poetically. Say everything with like poetic flair of you think you've just said something absolutely amazing.
Do you think you could say a recipe in a poetic way and people would think it was poetry?
I can give it a go.
Right now, I'll pull up a recipe.
Let me practice it first. Let me like get a couple runs in. But hey, next time I will read your recipe to bake a chocolate cake.
Okay.
And it will be a poem.
I'll hold you to that.
Deal.
Do you have a way that you get out of writer's block if you're in it?
If I'm in writer's block, a bit unorthodox, but I am.
I'm excited. Go on.
I copy someone else's work. So, like, if I'm in writer's block and I can't, like, it depends on what kind of writer's block I am. But if I'm in like a state where like I can't physically, like my, I can't just write. Nothing's like I've got ideas, my brain's like, but like it's just not computing into anything. Then, like, I'll like look up Maya Angelou or like Witty Himaira, and then I look at their poems, and then like I'll just like write out a couple stanzas, and then usually that flows into, and like that process of writing something tricks my brain into organizing my ideas in a manner that I can actually write it, or like calms my brain to a point where I can actually clearly see what I'm trying to think about and like have an end goal. And then if it's genuinely that I've got no ideas and I've got nothing going on up there poetically, like I can't write anything and I'm just sitting staring at a page and I can't think of anything, I would give myself prompts. So I would write poetry based off the horrible poetry prompts. I mean the amazing poetry prompts. I think Action Education has them online, and like just look up like writing prompts and like you'll find a whole heap, and they're absolutely corny as usually, but they work. And then you can write about something like, if I was a colour, what colour would I be? And then that turns into a poem. And that's turned into a poem about like immigration and loss of identity for me. So like it can just genuinely just put you down the right path.
I've read that one.
Yeah. And you didn't like it. You told me to edit it.
Hey, you're in the draft phase, but wait, by giving it to me.
I was in the draft phase. I'm still in the draft phase. I've only fixed it up a little bit.
That's actually a really good way of getting your brain into something by writing someone else's style. Because I've heard of, like, if you're writing prose, an exercise people do is getting a book with someone with a really distinct style and trying to write their own thing in that distinct style with, like, how the point of view works and, like, the sentence style and structure, which can help you break out of writer's block. But that does make sense with poetry because you're writing it down and suddenly your brain's like, hey, you could say this. And then you're off.
Yeah. And like, will I ever write poetry as good as Maya Angelou or like Witty Himaira? No. Maybe when I'm their age. But even then, they're doing this professionally and I have no intention to. So like, it's their skill, their talent. But like writing something of theirs, like if I write a poem about, write down a poem about like colonialism, because they both have quite strong themes around that, my own ideas about colonialism starts coming through. And then, like, I can just abandon it and move on to what's actually coming through in my brain, which is quite nice.
Yeah. I'm going to use that one next. I'll credit you. I don't know where, but I'll credit you. Shout it to the sky.
Yeah, you'll be like, thanks, Menashe. Bye.
No, I'll text it to you.
Oh, I'll take that. Yeah.
Mm.
Look forward to that.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's been very fun. I support you on your poetry journey, and I hope that at some point you can put stuff together between all the math.
Thank you. Yeah. Monday I might quit maths and do this instead. Who knows?
Hey.
That'd be the dream.
This was Young Writers Yap on Plains Media, broadcasting to Ototahi Christchurch and across Canterbury on 96.9 FM, live streaming and available to the world as a podcast on plains.org.nz.
Thanks for listening to Young Writers Yap. We'll be back soon. And in the meantime, you can stream past episodes at plains.org.nz. A big thank you to Write On, School for Young Writers, for all their support. And if you are or know a young writer, check out schoolforyoungwriters.org. Keep yapping, keep writing, and we'll see you next time. See ya!